Welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, and now I'm teaching college as a professor. And I actually just got the chance to teach a pedagogy course tonight. It was a blast. And I'm passionate about creativity and design thinking, and my belief and desire to see schools embrace design thinking and to see classrooms become bastions of creativity and wonder. And right now, we are in the midst of a series on the future of learning, and we looked at kind of the trends, the technology trends for learning. Then we also looked at the need for content curation. So if the first part was mostly about trends, we're now looking at this question of, you know, based upon these trends, what really matters in the future for students? And so the focus here today is on this idea of whether or not schools are preparing students to become entrepreneurs. I'm going to start with a story. So, think back about 3 years ago, maybe two. It's my last year in the classroom. So, a little over a year ago. Maybe 2 years ago. And I have a student who's in the eighth grade at the time. And she asks me something before class. She says, "Hey, Mr. Spencer, can you tell me all about writing a book? I mean, I want you to teach me how to write a book." And I asked her why she was asking me. And she said, I know that you wrote this book, Wendell the World's Worst Wizard, and I read it and I liked it, and I know that the book did well. I know that you sold some copies, and I'm just curious about how you did it." And it's true, our book was self-published. We didn't expect it to do well at all, and it actually stayed within the top 50 to 100 in fantasy for about a month. Which was significant for us. We just didn't, my wife and I who wrote it, we didn't anticipate that it would do that well. But it did. It did a lot better than we thought. And so I started talking to this girl about, diagramming plots and coming up with good conflict and character development, how it arises from actions rather than explanation. And I talked to her about the mistakes we made in our book and how we should have had more suspense and this and that. And finally, she looked at me and she said, no, I want to know how you make a book, how you publish it, how you get it onto Amazon. And then I come to find out later that this particular student had already published 5 books on Wattpad, and that she had hundreds of thousands of page views. She's now over 1 million. And that she had this tribe, this fan base that loved the fiction that she wrote. And what she wanted to know was how to monetize it. And she wanted to know how to get an audience and how to track an audience. And she knew from kind of something I'd mentioned before that you know, you could do email marketing and you could do certain things like that. And I was just in the beginning of blogging in a more serious way. Like, I'd blogged for a decade at that point, but I hadn't done anything that was, tracking with my audience and thinking about systems. And it kind of surprised me, and I felt conflicted at the time, because on one hand, I was really impressed by her initiative, and I was really impressed by what she wanted to do. But on the other hand, I felt like, man, you're only in the eighth grade. Like, just go play and have fun and don't think about building a business. And so about a week later, we had that conversation again. And this time she told me her plans. She wanted to build up a serial novel writing business, where she releases a book like every month or every 2 months. She wanted to eventually have people who edited for her, and she would just focus on the writing. And then every year she would release smaller novels, and she would release, 12 a year, and that would be a series, that would be a season. And maybe she would do 2 or 3 seasons, and then she would release a new novel series. And I loved the concept of it, and I know she had figured it out from someone else who had self-published, so it wasn't her idea. But I thought it was really intriguing that she was into this idea, that she was researching, that she was trying to find out what to do. And because she spoke Spanish and, her family was originally from Mexico, she thought that, if the business doesn't do that well when she's out of high school, that maybe what she'll do is live in Mexico, where the exchange rate works well and the standard of living is a lot lower, and she'll just write novels for a living, and that's what she wants to do. And it struck me that this whole plan of I'm going to live in Mexico and I'm going to write novels and I'm going to take this audience I built on Wattpad and I'm going to turn them into ebooks and I'm going to connect with my audience and I'm going to monetize it, that whole idea would have been impossible when I was a kid. You had to have a printing press and an industrial machine to print books. And you had what they called vanity publishing, and people really looked down on self-publishing back then. They still kind of do right now. People really bash it. But the truth is, this democratization of technology and this flattening of it, and quite honestly, the ability to go live in another country cheaply, that is the reality that students will inhabit. And on one hand, it's really, really scary. As a dad, I think about, what does this mean that anybody can live in any country and make money and they don't have to get paid the same amount as people in the U.S.? But then on the other hand, I find it really intriguing and I find it exciting that there are all these opportunities that are open. And it reminds me of this important thing, which is that everyone is now an entrepreneur. When we think about jobs in the future, there's all these statistics about how there won't be job security. The students who are graduating now will work for 7 to 10 companies in the future. And a lot of times they'll be contract workers, which sucks for things like healthcare and families. And I'm not saying that this is a good thing, but it is the reality that they will inhabit. They will have to be entrepreneurs. And if they're not entrepreneurs, if they're in the creative economy at all, and they'll have to be, because the truth is, artificial intelligence and mechanization and robotics will make it so that students will have to be in the creative economy. But in the future, when they're in the creative economy and they're doing things differently, they will have to be self-starters. They will have to be original. They will have to be people who know markets and systems and all kinds of things like that that you didn't necessarily have to do 5, 10, 20 years ago. And that is the future that they will inhabit. And it is scary and it is unfair, but it's also exciting and it comes with a lot of opportunities. So I mentioned this story and I mentioned this reality of the future because I've been talking to a lot of entrepreneurs in the last year, probably 2 years or so actually. I love hearing their stories. I love finding how they began. I love hearing what they consider valuable. And one of the questions I love to ask them is, what did you not learn in school that you wish you had learned? And a second question I love to ask them is, what does it take to be an entrepreneur? What are the skills that are important? And for the longest time, I focused on this question of skills. And sort of transferable skills in particular? You know, what are these things that you could learn in schools that would transfer over? But I've come to believe that it's not about skills at all. It's about a mindset. It's about thinking differently about learning. It's about thinking differently about creativity. It's about thinking differently about the work that you do. And because it's about thinking differently, it's not necessarily a set of skills that you will learn explicitly in school. It's about an approach to the work that you do. So what does that mindset look like? Well, there's a couple things. So I'm going to name some of the trends that I see. The first one is the willingness to take creative risks. That's vital. Every entrepreneur I talk to is somebody who takes risks creatively, who is willing to try something new, even if it allows them to fail. And I want to temper this with a second idea, and this is something that Adam Grant gets into in his book Originals, which I love. And it's the idea that they also hedge their bets. They're really smart about not taking risks that will cause the entire boat to sink. They are often taking risks, but in a way that's calculated and measured. And that's also important, which is this idea of having wisdom, of not putting so much pressure on yourself that you actually sabotage the work that you're doing. Another thing is that they are self-starters. They are self-starters, they are self-managers, they are self-directed. They are able to own the entire working process. And that's really, really important because schools often undermine this idea. So just like the last one, schools create risk-averse students by, you know, doing averages and grading, by you know, punishing people for having the wrong answers. Well, there's this idea that being self-directed and being a self-starter is actually kind of looked down on in school. We don't allow them to own the entire learning process like they should, which is a theme that came up in the last blog series and in the last podcast series that I did last month about, you know, student choice. And really going beyond student choice and focusing on this idea of ownership. So they own the learning. They own the systems. They own the process, which brings up the third thing, which is this idea of being a systems thinker. Almost every entrepreneur I know is able to think about systems, market systems, building systems, product systems. Whether they're an artist or an engineer or a writer or whatever, they know how to navigate systems. And systems thinking is really, really important. And something that's also connected to that, which is kind of a mindset issue, is humility and empathy. It's the idea of understanding truly what your audience and your customers want and need. It's a willingness to work with others. There's this Lone Ranger mentality that people have about entrepreneurs, and it's not accurate. Just about every entrepreneur I know that's had any level of success is somebody who is working hard and constantly working with other people. Like being really, really humble about the process, listening to them, asking questions, doing needs assessment, looking at data, but more importantly, building relationships and connecting and networking and doing this with a spirit of humility. And again, I don't think that's something that's necessarily taught in schools. I think we do a lot of group work, but we don't really do collaborative ventures at school. It just doesn't happen that often. It's not the structure of school. It's not the way it's set up. So these are some of the things that I noticed about the mindset of an entrepreneur. They're self-directed. They're self-managers. They're also people who are able to take creative risks. They're critical thinkers. They're creative. They're original. They're willing to do things a different way. They're systems thinkers. And these are all things that you see with design thinking, which is a part of why I'm such a big fan of using design thinking. Is it not only teaches them a framework, which is important, and a model, which is, again, important, but more importantly, it teaches them a way of thinking that's different. And that way of thinking that's different is ultimately the thing they take away from school when they leave. And if it works well, and often it does, what you end up seeing is students who are ready to tackle the world. They may not be entrepreneurs in the future, but more importantly, they can think like an entrepreneur. And that right there is what I'm after. So thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I am your host, John Spencer, and I really appreciate anyone listening to this. I don't know who does or why they do it, but if you do enjoy it, for my own purposes of just seeing feedback and knowing that I'm not just talking to a wall, I would love for you to leave a review on iTunes. If you listen to this on iTunes, if you listen to this podcast on your way to work or anything like that, just leave a review. Let me know how I'm doing. That would be really, really appreciated. Have a great day.